And welcome, everybody, to RP Grinders episode 396.
As a preview, the new opening with the harmonica rendition of Paper Dolls.
Yeah, we need to find like an all harmonica version of that song.
And we do not. We absolutely do not.
How about an all bagpipe version?
An all bagpipe. I'll take the bagpipe version. That'd be cool. Wouldn't that be weird if we knew somebody who knew how to play bagpipes and did the intro?
You don't even really need that. You just need someone to sequence it in MIDI and use the bagpipe sound.
Well, that would be cool. Dungeon Buster, get on that. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the harmonica-encrusted one himself, the Mug.
Or maybe we could use the bagpipe Superman theme.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the bagpipe. Oh, God, man. I could tell this is going to be one heck of a show. gentlemen, how was your week? We'll start with you, Eric.
It's okay. I didn't get the day off I wanted today, but that's fine since most of it was spent feeling not great anyway.
That sucks, man. What about you, Brake?
Not good. Everything's fine.
Santa said, not good. Everything's fine.
That's what I thought he said to you.
Everything's fine.
That's cool, man. That's good.
There's a website called itsfine.com, and there's also a comic where a dog's sitting in a room and everything's going on fire, and you say, everything's fine.
Yeah, everything's fine. What about you, Mug? How was your week, man?
That's doing all right. Yeah. A little stressful at work just from getting a little bit of duty creep going on where it's like I'm having to do shit that it was not, you know, that I was not hired to do.
Yeah, welcome.
And since we're basically on part-time, but we're being asked to do a full-time, a full-time job's worth of work. And so it's like, you know, okay, what you're asking us to do is essentially be on call from 8 to 5 and sometimes later. And if you're going to expect us to be on call for that, you need to pay us on call hours.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know if it's a law there in South Carolina, but I think we have a law here. If you're on call, you're on the clock because you're carrying around your phone with you and you're supposed to be on call. So you're supposed to get paid. All right, gentlemen, let's get started with the news. Let's get this shit done and over with so we can get to some fun stuff. So,
Eric? I thought you were calling the show shit.
Oh, no. This show is the greatest show of all time. Come on, man.
It was a shit over like a couple weeks ago, wasn't it?
Well, when I'm not on, then, you know, I mean, you guys are kind of...
Oh, you were here when you said it was the worst show ever.
I say that pretty much almost every episode, man. The way this show started out...
Well, the thing is, actually, no, Frank, the thing is, the common denominator there is every single time you say it's the worst show ever, you're on it.
Oh, get out of here, man. I've said that several times when I'm not on. That's the worst show I've ever heard, man. Like, I think I've even told you guys that, man, that show was awful. No. This show's great. It's the best. I wouldn't be doing it for, what, going on 8 years if it wasn't worth doing. So, hey, 1 month, and it's going to be the 400th episode. Jeez, I wonder what we're going to pull out of our ass for that show, man. That's going to be something else for sure. All right, Eric, let's start with the news, dude. Let's get this.
Talk about Frank Banch's ties to the Illuminati.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Let's go. Eric, first story.
First story is from Destructoid and not Silicon Era. And it's about how Tokyo Mirage Sessions designers comments on localization. And this is mere days after hearing Tokyo Mirage Sessions director on the Western Alpha changes, GameSpot sat down with Atlas producer Shinjiro Takada and Nintendo designer Hitoshi Yamagami to chat more about the localization efforts of the game. And he has a statement here. It says, each country has its unique culture and taste. There are times when common sense in one country can be thoughtlessness in another. However, if we create a game that with only that common sense, it causes no problems in any of the countries, it could be a very boring game. From various complex tastes of people worldwide, the developer selects settings and characters that appeal to many characters people as possible. But so he's basically saying, we redesign the outfits here, not because of social justice warrior nonsense, but because we think this is what Americans want. And considering the social climate, I'd be inclined to agree with him.
Well, what were the changes in the costumes? Like, what was the
A lot of them, I think the impression I got was that a lot of bikinis became one pieces. Yeah, bikinis became one pieces. Gravure idols were changed to just regular models. And like one scene in the game, like this character, you remember that where we were talked about that? They basically made her look like Blossom or the Fresh Prince, and that was kind of awful looking. I didn't like that. But they also like changed some of their outfits when they transformed to like have to look less lingerie, and they are now wearing spats to.
I don't understand what is this game being rated?
What?
Like, what is this game being rated? Is it
as far as what I can tell is that's what they did, but I'm not sure.
I mean, what do you mean spats? Spats are shoes.
No. There's actual like loincloth wear that's like called spats. It's like they're kind of like shorts.
Okay. I guess my question is, what is this game going to be rated here? Do we know?
It's out now, so it's rated teen, I think.
Teen, okay. I can kind of see the need for the changes then. But if this was like, I don't know, M, like why? Who gives a fuck? Like it's an M-rated game. Even teen, like
what? Well, Fatal Frame was an M-rated game, and they cut out the swimsuits for that game.
Yeah, see? Like,
and made it Zelda and Samus outfits instead.
I don't understand, man. This is bullshit.
It's Nintendo. Yeah. Nintendo is afraid to completely shed its family-friendly image.
It's so weird, man, because they have no problem putting Resident Evil on their fucking...
So console. This guy could be doing PR speak or he actually likes it, but...
Well, you have to remember one thing, though. That's, you know, this is America we're talking about, and violence is one thing.
This is also not entirely. The article I was intending to talk about either, but I'll open up the next one here. But, okay. Anyways, it does list the changes that they did make. Hold on a second. It's loading. Great.
It looks like, let's see. I'm looking now. They don't even have, like, comparison.
No, it was here, but I don't know what happened to it. But whatever. I guess, oh wait, I know where it is. It's in the forum where it talks about the fan restoration patch, where they try to restore as much of the game as possible, but they can't do anything about the DLC.
You brought up a good point, Mug. The weirdest thing to me is, like, this country is all about gun violence and violence in general, but when it comes to showing a nipple or you know, racy, lacy underwear, man, Jesus Christ, the fucking
freak. It's also about chasing the dollar and trying to get as wide of an audience as you can. Because this is the Wii U we're talking about, and Nintendo's probably willing to do anything to get as many people to buy their shit on the Wii U.
But obviously this game is super successful in Japan. What makes
Actually, it wasn't.
That it successful. Wasn't? Well, all right, whatever.
Quit making assumptions, Frank.
Whatever. I mean,
One thing I've noticed, though, and it's actually where I tend to split from the people on the left. I was like, you know, I generally regard myself as a feminist, but like, you also have this thing where you have these, you know, really diehard types, where essentially they've you know decided that, you know, a woman can't be shown. It's like, you know, any depiction of a woman as being sexy is sexual objectification. Even if this a specific woman, you know, wants to be seen that way, and it's like. No, you. It's kind of like that thing where, you know.
Well, if video games are different. I mean, they're designed by people.
Oh, so yeah, but I mean,
it's not like there are people with their own wills and they can't wear whatever they want.
What about webcam girls?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, it's not just that, but even in games, though, it's like if you have, you know, a character that is, you know, can be sexy without being like, I don't know, you can be sexy without being prurient about it.
Right, right.
You know, I think most people could look at Dead or Alive and say, like, yeah, they're really pushing it. But, I mean, like, you could have a character
I don't understand that
What's wrong with being a game being sexy just to be sexy?
I agree with you, Breakman, but going back to what you said, Mug, about Dead or Alive, like, What is wrong with females wearing fucking bikinis?
I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it, but I mean, I don't think that most people would, you know, I don't think you could look at a game like Dead or Alive specifically and say that, you know, the sexuality on display there is meant to be artistic in any way. It's like it's specifically there for fan service and titillation. And I'm not saying that I have a problem with that.
Right.
But I'm saying it's like there is a difference between yeah, okay. I mean, I can kind of see where you're coming from on that, but I don't see what the big deal is.
I agree with you, Mike.
Given that I understand your position, yeah. I still think you're making, you know, a mountain out of a molehill.
I mean, honestly, like what is
wrong? I understand the people's desire to have decent representation in their video games, but I also realize that these are also video games. They're primarily for entertainment, and I understand how impactful a good representation of someone can be, but you're asking a lot from a company that's based in another country with a different set of values.
I understand. Yeah. I mean,
especially for a Japanese company, because their notions, the Japanese take on sexuality and gender roles is still kind of on the medieval side.
Yeah. You say this almost every week.
Yeah.
I haven't used that term in a while.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, but it's like, you know, it's still there. But you can't force a modern Western view of sexuality onto a whole other culture. I mean, like that's basically it's kind of like social imperialism.
Yeah, the funny thing is why can't companies just be honest about their games and say these are definitely for titillation? Like Dead or Alive, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Like Dead or Alive is a great example of a game that it's not, you know, that women's sexuality is definitely not used in an artistic fashion. It's definitely there for
actually. If you want to, I think the absolute best approach to it I've ever seen is the Sendan Kagura games, where the author or the creator is like, yeah, it's about, you know, it's like I wanted to see, you know, his entire thing was I wanted to see tits in 3D.
Yeah, yeah,
and like, Sendan and I was like, Kagura. You know, you say that it's like okay, you don't have to like it, but I was like, that's what it is, and he's not making, you know, he's not giving any bullshit answers about it, like right. Nintendo with the oh, we couldn't make Link a girl because reasons. It's like no, we just want Link to be a guy. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Why? I mean,
you don't have to. Like, you may not, you know, you may not like it, but there's still a great amount of artistic integrity in saying that, you know, I wanted to put sexy girls on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I agree with that.
What of it?
Yeah, see that now. That's an honest, refreshing take on video games, because I don't know how many times we've said it on this show—probably a million times. Like, games are not specifically for kids anymore. It's a very adult business, you know. So I'm okay, and Breakman said this a few times, where I'm okay with playing a game for adults, and if that includes nudity and sex and whatever goes along,
it doesn't have to, but
it can have mature themes. We've talked about this, Breakman. Like
it would be nice if they use sex, if they would use it in a more mature fashion than they do.
Yeah,
it's kind of like
a Mass Effect fashion rather than most other video games.
Right. Dungeon Buster says Walmart will refuse to carry the product if it has that type of stuff. You know what? If it's a smaller game, Nintendo doesn't usually carry you anyways, so fuck off, Walmart. You know, who cares?
Well, the problem with that, I understand why that's an issue.
You got to buy them online.
Yeah, and the thing is, if a Walmart refuses to carry your product, you lose about 65% of the retail market. That's the problem.
I understand that, but if you're already – like, let's say you're a smaller game, right? You're an indie developer. What is – Walmart doesn't even come into the picture, you know, until later on. Like, I don't know,
and I'm just meaning in terms of retail. I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, in the retail space – Walmart is they control about 2/3 of the market.
Yeah, and what's funny, they've carried, like, if I was a company, I'd challenge Walmart on this. I'd be like, look, you carry M-rated video games all the time. Why don't you carry mine? And I think it might be grounds for suing Walmart. As weird as that sounds.
How about this instead? You guys sell guns. How come you can't sell mature titles?
Yeah, I agree with that. 100%, Breakman. Good point. We need to move on. Let's move on to the next story.
But I wanted to talk about the patch, the restoration patch that tries to add a content back. First of all, you're going to need to soft mod your Wii U, which you can do by getting Homebrew on there. that lets you use stuff in Wii mode. And then I guess from there you could probably mod your Wii for Wii U mode. But and then you need a dumped version of the game. But some of the list of changes here are a quick list. It says, reverted costumes back to bikinis, also changing the menu icons back to their original names and descriptions. Completely redid Chapter 2's script, I'm supposing here. And a few other small files to return references to Graveur modeling. And also uses the original voice files that are associated with that script, because they did switch them out. Fixed any map changes relating to pictures in dungeons that were changed, like pictures of said Graveur models. And swapped English files out for Japanese versions for the retranslated files. And healing points can no longer come in envelopes. I don't know what that means. It's probably relevant to the game, but they were probably something a little more risque than envelopes. They were probably panties or something. I don't know. But it says also changed profiles to reflect the characters' real ages and changes back references to Graveur modeling. Because, yeah, one of the characters is actually 16. They made her 17. They bumped her up by 1 year. Big whoop.
I know. That's
getting a little... And converted any censored pre-rendered cutscene files. Yeah. So,
yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I just... I mean, Walmart's basically got the gaming industry by the balls, is what everybody's saying. Like, that, to me...
If
like,
I do put home
Walmart
room,
has
it might
the,
be you
Walmart
again.
Has all of retail by the balls.
Yeah, they do.
Why don't... like, the second biggest one is probably GameStop, right? Or Best Buy. Which is it? Best Buy?
No,
probably.
I think... for a while, Target was number one, so they might have moved... No, I think Amazon's number two, I think.
Amazon?
Yeah, at this point, Amazon
that's right,
probably
Amazon, yeah. And then I think maybe Target might be in the third spot. I don't think Best Buy, because Best Buy's retail has been declining as of recently.
Yeah, no, I understand.
GameStop
that.
May be fourth or fifth. Yeah. They're not – they wish they could sell as many products.
I mean, GameStop makes
Walmart
most
does.
Of its money through pre-owned sales.
Oh, Meijer. Meijer.
Sorry, pre-owned games.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Walmart's just
huge in game sales.
Walmart's a weird religious entity to me. Anytime you get religion involved, you're not going to get any boobs, and that's bad for everybody, in my opinion. But
why don't they go to Target? Target's like not as big as Walmart, but it's still big.
Well, why don't they go to Amazon, Target, everybody but Walmart,
Best
and say,
Buy.
Yeah, and say, look, this is the product we want to sell. It's an M-rated game. It's on the box. Sell it. You know, and if it sells good, great. If it doesn't, then, you know, back to the drawing board.
Well, the problem with that is basically that, you know, if Walmart doesn't stock your product, you know, you've lost 2/3 of your potential market.
Yeah.
You know, and well, for most publishers, that's not a risk they're willing to take.
If you were
it's not a risk they can afford to take.
If you were aiming for 1/3 of that market anyways, what difference would it make? Like
if you want to advertise on television, for instance, you need Walmart.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, because it is. I mean, the thing is, if you look at, and especially in a lot of smaller towns, Walmart is the only place where you can go. Like, yeah. It's really the only place where you can go and just like, walk in and buy a game.
And you know what's shitty about it? Like, these releases at Walmart, you'll see like one or two of them in there. You won't see like, you know, obviously like Call of Duty.
I think some Walmarts have this game in stock, but not most of them.
Yeah. All right, next story, Breakman.
I don't even know what story we're on anymore.
Second story.
We're only in the second story, which suddenly isn't loading for me.
All right. I'll do the second story. I Am Setsuna artwork pre-order bonuses announced from Gamatsu. Old school RPG due out on July 19th. Let's see. It's got pre-orders will include two night dynamic themes at the moment of pre-order. I liked it, dynamic themes. That's pretty cool. As well as the exclusive digital track Eternal Winter. That's kind of a who cares. Steam pre-orders will include an exclusive digital track titled The Warmth of Hope. So there you go. I Am Setsuna. Does anybody know what this – Eric, do you know what this game's about? Doesn't really –
I don't know what the story is, but I know that it's the one that's basically like a
Frank,
in terms
Frank
of gameplay.
Frank relies on me entirely to learn about video games because he doesn't play them anymore.
All right, but Eric, games. You just interrupted me.
Yeah. Sorry.
But it is the game that is essentially like the not in terms of its storytelling so much, but in terms of its gameplay, it's basically Chrono Trigger.
And by the way, I don't rely on you 100%, Eric. When I do call on you, it's because you are vastly more knowledgeable about especially modern games when they're coming out and what they entail. Like I
basically
have,
if it's not Dragon Quest VIII, Frank doesn't understand.
Get out of here.
Or doesn't care.
I know of all the new releases and shit like that, except for stuff like this. Like these are niche, like little games that Eric knows infinitely
like,
more.
You need to stop playing Marvel Puzzle Quest so much, maybe.
No, you guys think I play Marvel Puzzle Quest a ton. I play Marvel Quest for about 10 to 15 minutes in the morning, and then I'm done with Marvel Puzzle Quest. That's it. I don't have the new consoles. I really, really want them. Like, I discussed this before we got on air. I just every time I get, like, when we get to the Stinkos, I'll get to a fucking Stinko that's going to cause me not to get a PS4 for a while. But we'll get there when we get there. All right. Mug, next story, please.
All right. Well, I can do the next story because I didn't get to the last one.
All right. Go ahead.
Coming to us live from Silicon Era. Reversey Quest turns board game Othello into a tactical RPG. Sorry, I didn't feel needed for a moment. Like, I needed to need.
Poor break, man.
All right. I'm going to have to play him off.
Oh, God.
Reversey Quest uses the board game Othello, also known as Reversey, as an inspiration for a tactical RPG, which I'm interested already, pitting players against opposing armies for domination of the game's grid-like board. The game uses a battle system that bears similarities to Reversey's rules, placing their units so that they outflank lines of enemies. However, certain magic spells can be cast on the field, forcing players to change their strategies through skipped turns or altered panels. Players will move across the map using several different types of dice, allowing them to customize their movements to a degree. This is important because certain tiles will offer special bonuses, giving the player gold, items, extra units, and healing if they play on them.
So everything you actually need in an RPG.
I've never played Reversey or Othello, but they're kind of like Go.
Yeah.
Vaguely.
Dungeon they have
some
Bust.
Like similar.
Some similarities,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, but it's like Go is like it's one of those games that's it's really really simple, but also incredibly complex through its simplicity. It's really it's very hard to. It's like it's a bit, it's like one of those things where they describe it's like it's difficult. To, you know, it's easy to learn. Really, really, really difficult to master because
I have
like,
a Go board, but I've not bothered learning how to play because yeah. I need people to play with first.
This game's coming out on Xbox One on July 15th.
Cool. So, Dungeon Buster says I'm a secret Marvel Quest Puzzle Quest boss monster. So there you go. All right, next story, Mug.
All right, coming to us live from the site which must not be named. I'm going to skip the headline because this is that site. Red Corp is in the business of magical resurrections, but something is wrong in the corrupt company because it's a game and there must be a corrupt company somewhere. This is where the players come in. The players comes in, selecting from a handful of mutant warriors to take down the mutants, monsters, and oddball creatures that stand between them and justice and brawler dungeon punks with an art style that looks a lot like BlazBlue and Guilty Gear.
Yeah,
and not to interrupt it, but did you say when the players comes in?
Yeah.
Yes, the players comes in. That's why I corrected myself so that I would say it incorrectly as they wrote it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Players chooses. No, that wasn't just from six playable characters is pickings twos swaps between use. I sound like the trucker guy from Futurama. Oh, hey, yes. Anyway. Using the game's tag team mechanic. Each character can level up its own set of skills, magical attacks, and dodges, so players can grow two different characters to help them handle various combat situations. 1 to 3 players can dole out pain in local co-op, which is really cool, or can fight against each other in one of the game's arenas. Dungeon Punks is due to bring its mixture of modern corporate greed and medieval fantasy combat to PS4, Xbox One, and PC this summer.
I like it already.
And unethical journalistic practices.
I like it already. Yeah. That's
it looks really nice. I mean, just the art style of it, especially like that weird like bird vulture creature in the first screenshot.
Yeah.
It looks like that, it has a similar shading style to the BlazBlue and Guilty Gear games.
It reminds me a little bit of Dungeon Fighter Online.
Yeah,
I never played that.
I mean,
it looks promising, especially like the three player local co-op It's like, I don't think I've seen that since, like, you know, Secret of Mana.
Yeah, looks decent. I'm interested in this game. I really got to get a PS4. I got to get one. All right, next story comes to us.
Sorry I didn't give you one for your birthday.
Yeah, it's everybody, like, chip in so I can get a goddamn PS4. Next story coming to us from Silicon Era. Side-scrolling cyberpunk RPG Dex hitting PS4 and Xbox on July 8th. The developers have also stated that the game will be coming to the Wii U and Vita. That's kind of an odd mix. Sometime this year, as well as other digital releases, a limited physical edition for the PS4 in select territories. I'm assuming United States for sure. In the game, main character Dex, an AI, is on a quest for the Singularity, a point in which artificial intelligence surpasses human intelligence. Dogged by corporate mercenaries, she will face them with a mixture of cunning and force, depending on how the player chooses to build her. I'm interested in this game as well, guys. Like, to me, AI is infinitely interesting. I think it's scary as fuck. Like, the idea of, like, I mean, we always go back to this movie mug, Ex Machina. To me, I view that movie as a horror movie. I think it's super scary, especially the ending when you see, spoiler alert, everybody, for Ex Machina. He doesn't want to hear it. Okay, I won't spoil it, but it's just scary.
I think that
you haven't played it. I was just taking my headset off.
No. Okay, it's all right, man.
You played the Mass Effect games, didn't you?
I played the first one. I thought it was okay.
Well, I mean, that's really all I needed there. Do you remember their distinction between artificial intelligence and virtual intelligence?
Yes.
It's like that, and like artificial intelligence was what gave rise to the Geth, essentially, like these creations turning on their creators. Virtual intelligence was essentially this thing, like a similar kind of thing to artificial intelligence, but essentially that had artificial constraints on how much it could learn. And I honestly think that is going to be the way that's, you know, essentially we've learned this lesson from science fiction, because let's face it, science fiction is a great predictor of technological advancement.
Yes.
But I think that we've kind of learned from this is that, you know, we're going to try to create AI with limitations on how far it can expand.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably going to be the only way you could do it in a way that's not going to, you know, potentially cause problems. Because you kind of think, like, if you saw, like, Watchmen, when you had this, you know, like Dr. Manhattan, when he became not human, his perception became so vast that the troubles of, you know, like the human issues became non-issues to him. It's like his perception was so far beyond it. And it's like, imagine a creature or an intelligence that can essentially learn the entirety of all human knowledge within the space of a few nanoseconds.
Right.
And then it's like, you know, even if it's not like, you know, these things must die, it's going to be like, I don't care. Like, what reason have I to care about any of this?
Yeah.
I think that's a more realistic outcome than the destruct, you know, the Skynet approach.
I think the first reaction would be more like, ew.
Yeah. I think it could go either way, to be honest with you. If you made an AI that was able to, like, really, like, do, like, the Ex Machina type thing,
I think the real difference there would be is if it has developed emotions, because, like, essentially the desire to destroy what it determines as being, like, you know, unclean or whatever. It's like it would have to be able to be surprised and disgusted, and in order to be able to wreak that kind of wanton destruction, some contempt would have to be built in there. Because if it was pure cold calculation, I think you would just get like this, fuck this, I don't need to be here. This, you know, this doesn't have anything. This is unworthy of my attention, I guess.
Yeah, maybe it could go that way, but I don't know, man. I lean slightly towards the Terminator aspect of it, like where the machines just get like kind of like the world. Yeah, see, would be that,
well,
a better
that's
place.
More likely to happen than an alien invasion.
I agree. I totally agree with that. I mean, it's like what Dungeon Buster says, we're decades away at best. Like, we're probably not going to see any of this shit in our lifetime or our kids or their kids' lifetime. But, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1,000 years down the road, I mean.
But just in case, my machine overlords, I worship you.
Yeah, exactly. Wyland said this planet will be ash before that happens. That's another possibility. You know, I mean, I don't know. It just, to me, that shit is infinitely interesting. That's why I bring it up. Eric, next story, please.
Next story is about Final Fantasy VII Monopoly. And yeah. My links are all messed up, but I can still read it.
Okay.
But, since finally it's happened, Final Fantasy VII Monopoly is real. It's the work of Merchoid, a video game merchandise specialist, which is said to expect a launch on the 14th of April 2017, 20 years after the JRPG classic came out on the PS1. Expect Monopoly to incorporate characters, locations, and lore from Final Fantasy VII. Here's more from community manager Jessica.
I'm going to say, like, the cheapest place will be the church where you find Aerith.
Anyways, it says it's every family's favorite board game of a Final Fantasy VII theme. So it'll feature Cloud, Aerith, Sephiroth, and all your favorite characters and locations. Whether your plans are to buy housing for the people or build a Mako reactor plant, you'll soon discover the real nature of Sephiroth's evil is at the extortionate amount of rent that he charges.
Yeah,
I think that, and I have to say that I don't think that anyone could reasonably say that Monopoly is the whole family's favorite game. It's usually one person's favorite game, and everybody else is like, "Fuck no, I don't want to play Monopoly with you. You cheat."
Yeah, yeah.
And then, let's face it, this is Monopoly here.
It says it's gonna cost. Well, this is Eurogamer.net, so it's giving us euros, but who knows what will be in the US? But it says, not euros, pounds. Sorry. £34.99. £34 and 99 pence. Sorry.
I would prefer a Final Fantasy IX Monopoly game, but that's just me, I guess. Like,
there's more properties there too.
Is it just me, or are there other people that think Final Fantasy IX is like a way superior game to Final Fantasy VII?
Oh yeah, there are plenty of people that do.
Okay,
a lot of people never played Final Fantasy IX, and like that's kind of one of the cool things about like the Steam release and the forthcoming PS4 release.
Yeah,
it's going to put it in the hands of a lot of people who just never got the chance.
Oh god, Nine is a treasure, man. That game is.
Yeah, I mean since it's these new releases, like it's also going to allow people to bypass the worst aspect of it, and that is the slow-ass combat.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, and I mean, that was just a technical limitation of the system because it's constantly streaming data off of a disk that's 1x, and so it's 150 kilobytes a second.
Yeah.
So,
let's see. Let's give this to Mug. You were talking about Final Fantasy IV. Earlier.
Yeah.
And this is the story you're talking about.
All right. Coming to us live from Silly String Era. The Final Fantasy fan game, Final Fantasy IV Altered Destiny, is a reimagining of the original Final Fantasy IV, but with an alternate timeline where major story events took different turns. Using the PSP version as a visual basis, Final Fantasy IV Altered Destiny takes players through a changed plot to the original game. Important plot points, such as Rydia joining the party or Kane leaving it after the incident in Myst, have all been changed, taking the game's story down a different path. A few other aspects of the game have been changed as well. There's now an encounter radar to give players a better indication on when they'll get in a fight, which I think is an awesome addition, and enemies have their own health bars during combat. The developer has also added a new hidden area and arena. Final Fantasy IV Altered Destiny can be downloaded for free from the RPG Maker forums and Game Jolt. Since it's an RPG Maker game and an unlicensed fan thing, it is completely free. Download is something like 1.2 gigs.
Yeah, that's a really cool.
I'm thinking they made this game just because they wanted Tello to live.
Yeah.
He did live.
Yeah.
Well, now.
No, remember, everybody came back at the end. Like, even. It's like nobody actually died in that
Dark
game.
Dark Paladin.
Yeah. Well, that's good news.
Good point. I'm sorry. I forgot they rewrote their history. My bad.
No, they didn't even rewrite it. This was at the end of the first game. Everyone came back.
Yeah. All right, Breakman, you're up. Breakman.
I don't remember that.
Breakman.
Anyway, I'm sorry. coming to us live from the page that won't load for me all of a sudden. What the hell's wrong? I hate my internet so goddamn much.
All right, Eric, next story, please.
No, I got it. I got it. Here it is. Coming to us live from Gamatsu. Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 launches October 25th in North America, October 28th in Europe. Dragon Ball Xenoverse will launch for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on October 25th in North America and October 28th in Europe. Publisher Bandai Namco announced. Because why are you doing this to us, Gamatsu? We've always said such good things about you.
Well, maybe you should just not read them. In the headline. Don't read the headline.
Yeah, it's probably best to just. I'm just taking just skipping the headline entirely because they always repeat the content of the headline in the story.
Okay, from now on, that's what I'm going to do. I'm sorry, Gamatsu. You're disappointing me. So you have moved to the level of Silicon Era for me because it's one too many times. And Namco Bandai released a new trailer today featuring DJ Steve Aoki, who will remix a selection of famous musical tracks from Dragon Ball Z universe, including fan favorites Chala, Head Chala, and We Got the Power.
Anyway, are you sure it's not? Are you sure it's not Chala like bread?
No.
Chala, Head Chala.
I am not. Hey, break. I am not your Chalaback girl.
Okay.
I think they only reiterate the headline because some people skip it entirely anyway.
Yeah, well, we should just make
most that. People just don't. I think most people just read the headline and go straight to the comments.
Yeah, and then which is probably what we should do. You know, we should do that. Like
for comments of an article.
Yeah, episode 400. We should just like read the headline and go straight to the comments. Like the first five comes.
Yeah, the episode title will be called "Comments Are Horrible."
Ooh, I've got an idea. Wow, that might be something we do for 400, but I'll have to work on that. All right. So, Xenoverse 2 in October
28th. Yeah.
And it's technically an RPG, so that's why we're having it in here.
So if they're going to add some music, they should add the Super Saiyan 3 trailer, or music, I'm just saying.
I just hope that means that the U.S. version will have that content, because there's usually be always some kind of weird bullshit reason why they don't keep the original soundtrack.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I know. Aoki will also appear in the game as a non-playable character that players will be able to interact with in the game's hub city of Kanton.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I like DJ Aoki. He's pretty good. But
I've never heard of anything he's done.
He's played some good shit, man. Read the next story, Eric.
That doesn't help us. Tell us more.
I'll pull up something really good from Aoki. Eric, next story.
Actually, it's Aoki, Aoki. This is from – are we on still?
Yes, we're on.
Oh, continue. It sounded like you all cut off and you got disconnected.
No.
It got really quiet. But blog us.playstation.com. Classic – this is not an RPG, but it's Mecha, so I'll take any chance I get to promote it. Plus, I want people to get this game. Classic shooter Assault Suit Lanos targets PS4 on July 12th. Pulled, the original suitor for the 16-bit era, now studying HD era visuals. We announced Assault Suit Lanos for PS4 only a few short months ago. And since then, there has been a huge real surge in excitement from fans of the classic series, known originally as Target Earth in the U.S. Because we never...
It was on the Super Nintendo, wasn't it?
No, Genesis. And Mega Drive.
I remember like a 16-bit game called Target Earth, but I don't think I ever played it.
That was Assault Suit Svalgan that you're thinking of.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
That was called Cybernator.
Okay, yeah.
Anyways, the game received a staggering showing at PAX East in the U.S. and also at London's Comic-Con. Illustrated by community reaction, Lanos is fondly remembered by fans of the 16-bit classic, and that's why we can't wait to bring this blistering high-definition remake to PS4 with enhanced visuals and entirely new gameplay features. And,
looks nice.
Yeah. It looks like they put a lot more effort into it than the original PS2 remake that came out a few years back.
Yeah, I'm looking at the trailer and the visuals look fantastic. I mean, is it all 2D or is it 3D? Like, is it like 2.5D? Oh, nice.
I'm playing a little bit of Aoki here, guys.
Crush a bit, little bit, roll it up, take a hit, feeling it, feeling right. 2 a.m. summer night. I don't care, hand on the wheel, driving drunk, I'm doing my thing. Rolling the mid beside and out, living my life, getting out dreams. I'm a douche.
This is not good.
I actually, it is good.
No, that is not good.
Mug doesn't like things, that's good.
Yeah, Mug doesn't like fun.
I don't like repetitive hip-hop.
That's alright. That was a Kid Cudi song. Oh, fuck. Jesus Christ. Now that's awful. Whatever that was, that's awful. Alright.
Anyways, Rising Star Games is publishing this, and I can hardly ever get like a word out of them whenever I email them, so I had Shadow Next Gen copy them, because email them, because he usually has better luck than I do.
Yeah. All right, break. Next story, please.
Coming to us live from Destructoid. It was previously... Oh, sorry. That was another headline. Why do they have two headlines? Dragon Crown's a fantastic, not juvenile at all video game was removed from the European PSN this week. Panic! Wait, don't panic! Why did this author write that? Evidently, it's involved in a deal that was always in place between Atlus and NIS, who published it in Europe, which recently expired. Uh-oh. However, according to NIS themselves, Atlus will be taking over publishing duties and will effectively relaunch the game directly on the PSN. For now, you can still download everything as normal and multiplayer still works.
The real news here is that Atlus is publishing the game, so I wonder if this means that Atlus is getting ready to open up a European branch, or at the very least, publish games digitally.
Yeah, that's weird. I think that they're talking about the dissolution of NIS and Atlus. That's kind of a sad thing. Like that, I don't understand why they couldn't get along. Like they were doing some really good work together, but whatever. All right.
Like I said, I blame Sega's fault.
Yeah. All right, this next story comes to us from Destructoid. Scott Moffitt is departing Nintendo in August. He joined the company in May of 2011. While an exec leaving a company normally wouldn't be a blip on most people's radar, a major visible presence in an organization like Nintendo is likely to make some waves. A publisher announced that VP of Sales and Marketing Scott Moffitt is leaving the company, having been there since May of 2011, which I just said. He took over the role for Cammy Dunaway, who in turn took up Reggie
Daughter Fiennes. Of Faye.
Blah, blah, blah. Amicable separation, so nothing seems rotten in Denmark, and he will remain in Nintendo throughout July to ensure smooth transition. Who hired this guy? That's the real story. Like, who hired Scott Moffitt away from Nintendo is what I'd like to know. So wherever you see this guy pop up next, whether it be Sony or Microsoft, my money's on Microsoft.
I was guessing 7-Eleven.
Well, this could mean good things because the sales and marketing of Nintendo lately has been kind of questionable. But then again, maybe that's part of why he's leaving.
Probably. He saw the writing on the wall, probably. All right, next story, Eric.
I got skipped.
Next story is from Silly String Era. Visual Novel Maker will offer a new creative option in 2016. At Dejica, the publisher of the RPG Maker series, is preparing another tool for people who enjoy making their own games. Visual Novel Maker will be coming to PCs in fall. No date specified, so it's whenever they can get it out.
This is interesting, actually. It's like
it's a new engine and suite of tools based on Andre Rudomski's Cortex RPG Studio project.
That's interesting.
And list of features: beautiful free-to-use assets, dynamic creation tools aimed for artists and writers, live 2D and voice sync support. Live 2D is interesting, actually. Scripting and extensions of user-integrated functionality, multiple resolution support, easy game localization support, and share your game with multiple exporting options.
I think this would be more fun to mess around with.
It'll be a much better suite to use probably than RenPy. I mean, RenPy's free, but it's also kind of shit.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Just think, we can have a massive number of increasingly shitty visual novels.
But some of them might be
Hang on. I'm not dissing visual novels in general, but the simple fact is that if you make something like this like readily available, easy to use, you're going to see a lot of people. It's just like with RPG Maker. There is a shit ton of really, really bad RPG Maker.
Oh, yeah. No question. But that's what you get with
There's easy importation tools for your own assets.
That's what you get when, you know, you do stuff like this. You get a bunch of shitty user-created levels. I mean, look at what's that game called with Sackboy? Fucking
Little Big Planet.
Little Big Planet. Like, you got a bunch of shit.
Little Big Killjoy.
you get a bunch of shit, but every once in a while you get a really damn good level in that game.
Oh, speaking of, did you guys hear that they're halting all online service for all the Little Big Planet games?
What?
Oh, no.
Why?
Including, yeah, I don't know, but including the newer ones on the newer one on PS4.
What?
It's all getting shut down. So the only thing you'll be able to do is local.
Oh my god, that's awful.
Basically, it's like, why even bother? Because most of
the don't buy the game now.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like the only reason to play Little Big Planet is for user created levels.
Yeah,
who ruined it for everyone?
Exactly. Fuck. They had a really cool Gradius level on one of those user generated Little Big Planet things. It was really fun, but that sucks. That's really shitty. I wonder.
Somebody redid all of Final Fantasy VII's plot in Little Big Planet 3.
Nice.
Interesting. All right, Mug. Next story, please.
All right. Coming to us live from that site. Circle Entertainment announced the next 3DS eShop game we're getting with Kingdom's Item Shop from Pumo, which was originally released in Japan back in 2014. There's a trailer for the, looks like, the Japanese release for it.
It's basically Risk Tier.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have more details, including the official title for the West, once it becomes available. So I guess
it looks very meh to me. I don't know. This might be semi interesting, but what was that reset here? Yeah, that game was decent, but this doesn't look. I don't know. I have to see the American product, the English product. Make a final judgment.
But, America!
Yeah, America!
Speak American!
Yeah, exactly.
Gotta speak American!
All right, Break, I'll give you the honors of doing the last story, please.
Yay! He likes me. Coming to us live from Silicon Era, the Varied Heroes are a first-person RPG. Seven mages draw from different magical schools, each using their own array of combat, elemental, and musical spells to use on their enemies. Seven mages now out of early access and fully released on Steam pits players against groups of monsters using their seven available mages. This group can be split up to engage multiple enemies in different areas in a turn-based combat, with each character using their own spell sets that's drawn from 60 different spells. It's a story inspired by Kurosawa's Seven Samurai.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which is about everything, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's inspired so much. The oppressed peasants of Roven Island hire the heroes of seven mages with the last of their money, hoping these heroes will beat back the magical prospectors that have been robbing them of their harvest. To fully defeat them, players will journey through mountains, forests, and crypts, even moving into the depths of the ocean into the guts of a dead dragon.
Ooh, that's cool. It looks decent. Looks kind of cool. I don't know. The visuals are interesting. You know,
this is a PC game. So yeah, there you go.
I think I can hear the ice cream truck outside. Huh. I'm surprised there is ice cream truck right now.
Yeah.
Why?
Why are you surprised, man?
Because I don't usually hear it.
Yeah.
All right. Before we go on to the next thing, I wanted to ask if you guys had heard about Death's Gambit.
Gambit. What is that?
It is basically it's a 2D side-scrolling action RPG with some really nice artwork. It has a similar kind of visual style to Hyperlight Drifter, like in the cinemas. It's like that flat shading, but detailed. It's all 2D, it looks like it's kind of another 2D. Kind of take on the Souls games.
Ooh, like, you know,
high challenge, focus on timing and blocking and all that kind of thing. But it looks really, really nice, and it's coming to PC and PS4 in the next few months, I think.
We've talked about this game before, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, like they put out a new trailer, and it's just like, wow, this game looks really, really good.
It does look good. I'm interested. I'm definitely interested. I got to get a goddamn PS4, man. Oh, man. I'm in that, you know, like you get in between getting a new system and your old system, and you like refuse to buy games for the old system because they have them on the new system. That's the point.
It's like Zeith are waiting eternally for PC ports of everything.
God, man. I don't know. It's one of those things. Plus, I'm semi-interested in that Neo. So, just like in between. All right. That's the news for us. Do we have any homie discounts, Eric?
Yes. I mean, I did find a new article, but I'll save it for next week. But, not only is there a PSN sale for the mid-year sale that's going on, where there's lots of games that are RPGs on there, of course, mostly for PS3. There's not a whole lot of PS4 RPGs on offer, but you can get Sword Art Online for like $12 on PS3 and like $17 on PS4.
Wasn't one of the Tales games? Wasn't one of the Tales games there for like $5?
Yeah, the Symphonia Chronicles bundle is like $4 though.
And then it says here there's a Telltale game 5-game collection with Game of Thrones, TWAU, Tales from the Borderlands, TWD Seasons 1 and 2 for $22. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. But this one's 80% off
the regular price of it. It's like $105 for the whole thing normally.
Yeah.
Anyways, this one's about PS Plus offerings for starting in July. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be able to get Call of Juarez, Bound in Blood, Fat Princes, Fury, or Ishika, Tainted Bloodlines, which is a good game. You should pick that up if you have Plus.
Is that another visual novel?
No.
No, I mean, I
hater.
Like when a title is that Japanese, it's like it's probably a visual novel.
Hater.
It's an RPG.
Okay.
And then there's Paragon, and then there's Prince of Persia Revelation,
it's the PSP port of Warrior Within.
Yeah. And Saints Row: God of Hell for PS4.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't even have 4, but I'll pick up God of Hell.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a fun game. It actually has something like one of the things I thought the Saints Row 4 it cribbed very heavily from prototypes. Movement, like maneuvering and stuff like that. And the Get Out of Hell does the same thing, except it gives you true flight instead of gliding. And the flight controls are really, really good. Like some of the best I've seen. So, I mean, it's a very stripped down version of it. It's like there's not a lot of mainline story to it. It's mostly like going and doing side stuff, but it is a new environment and, it is funny. And so, I mean, and it's fun. It's like, and it's especially worth getting if it's free.
Also, I'll say that Paragon's actually just going to be like a closed beta because the open beta starts in August. But that game's probably going to try to ape a little bit of what's going on with Overwatch. So who knows how successful it'll even be compared to that game. Apparently Battleborn did really poorly.
Yeah. Yeah, Zero Punctuation did an interesting little breakdown of that. It's like basically comparing and contrasting the two. In his own style, but it's still like Battleborn. Is the characters are less specialized, but you have to unlock everything, and Overwatch is like everything is unlocked up close, but it has to be because the characters are all very heavily specialized. So like you need people who can do this specific task, so they have to be able to access that character. So it's very much Now, just saying, like the premise is very much based around, like you find a role in a team and you stick with that and you get good at it and then kind of you become indispensable to your team through practice.
Anyways, it also mentions here that you can get early access to Killstrain starting from the 12th.
Cool. All right, Breakman, Twitter stuff.
Okay, let's see here. I am going to look at Twitter, and I'm going to scroll down because there's nothing on Twitter.
What? Like,
and then I'm going to cry because there's something from Freak 5 Games.
No, that we didn't. He didn't give us anything.
Yeah, yeah, I think he was off.
He's probably tired of being the only person who gives us anything.
No, we need more people to send us in Twitter shit, man. Like anything, we'll mention
Dungeon
it.
Dungeon Buster me. And Wyland, why don't you ever send us anything on Twitter?
You could just even say
something. They can't out graphic how bad Freak is, but we don't want you to either. Yeah.
You could just say something
I
like,
I think they should try because it would be entertaining.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Too bad we can't make it a contest.
God, that would be awesome. Yeah, like outgross Freak 5. If anybody could do that, then shit. We should come up with something. That'd be awesome, man. All right. ideas.
Every episode for free.
I wanna address chat, but that Ice Cream Kitty and Turtles cartoon is just fuck?
You know what we might do? This is what we could do. Obviously none of us have any money to give out, like, you know, gifts and stuff. But what we could do is we could throw out the challenge out there, like, you know, maybe even episode 400, we could announce like a contest. And the only person that
gets that sweet, sweet Kickstarter money.
Right, yeah, get that sweet, exactly. And what we could do is we could like say, hey, the next episode is going to be a special episode that the winner of this contest will send digitally, you know, to that person only. And we won't, maybe we'll go live, but we won't put it out on the normal feed. We'll just give it to like one person. That would be kind of cool. I think that'd be.
It's like patron only content.
Yeah. It's like a participant-only type deal. You know, you're the only person. Or we could do – this is what we could do. We could do
– let's face it. It would go to Freak 5 because he's the only person who would enter.
No. That's the reason. No. This is what we could do.
He would enter under a different name the darkest depths of 4chan something for us.
This is what we could do. We could do that. And then the winner would get like an extra special message at the end of their particular episode. Like we would record a special episode, like a mini episode at the end of the regular episode for whoever wins. That would be cool. Like we do like a mini version of the show, like one story. You know, somebody would have.
The winner gets to write a 2-minute sketch for us to perform, and we have to do it with gusto.
I'd be okay with that too. That'd be another idea. Shit.
2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Damn.
2 minutes.
Yeah, 2 minutes. Man. Yeah, okay. Exactly. All right. So let's move on then. What have you been playing, Breakman? What have you been playing?
Oh, let me see here. Okay, let me read this as it's written. I have. Oh, somebody erased it. Never mind. Okay, cool.
Maybe you did out of disgust and you don't remember.
I might have. it was saying something about Halo 5 in a different way. It was not involving Halo 5. It involved me in a situation that I don't think I... Yeah. Anyway, I've also been playing some Final Fantasy Goalkeeper, and I think I said last week that Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2 is on sale right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or last week, anyway. For half price, but I needed Mrs. Breakman's permission. Well, I got her permission, and I've been playing that game mostly.
Oh man, that's funny.
Shut up!
But I hear laughing.
Yeah, stop laughing, assholes. who's writing on here now? Hash? What's hash?
Hash
zombies? Hemp Garden Warfare?
Yeah.
Are those pot jokes, Frank?
What?
Yes.
What?
Of course they are. Okay. This is Frank we're talking about.
Okay. When you said hash, I was thinking hash browns, but then he added the
hash. I'm thinking hashish.
Yeah, I get it now. I get it. And his walking cannabis Michonne. What? Why is he doing this? Stop doing this, Frank.
What are you guys talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about.
We're talking about class-based systems, and that's really what... Plants vs. Zombies 2 is. The only real big difference between... There are two big differences between the first game and this one. This one's added, I think, a few more characters to each side, and it added a really boring single player.
Mm. Okay.
that's about it. But they people are like complaining about the first one not having a single player. And I criticize games for not having a single player. I was fine with that one not having a single player, but I was only expecting to pay like $20 for it at the same time.
I got an idea for $400.
Oh, good. What, Eric?
Playing Cards of Humanity on a Skype call, then doing that as that. The episode.
Yeah, I could go
what
for
is that. Now,
Cards Against Humanity.
I don't know what that is.
It's basically was described as a party game for horrible people. Here's the gist of it. There are white cards and black cards. Black cards have questions, like usually fill in the blank type stuff, and some of it's like, you know, what, like most of it's just like, it's kind of silly stuff, but it's like, you know, what's that smell? Or what did Vin Diesel have for breakfast? And that kind of thing. And but the answers are always things like, not like what here. One of them is like not giving a shit about the third world, or there's God, or celebrity names, and it's usually things that's just like, that's kind of bad. And it always combines into ways that it's like, it's kind of like GTA. You can make it as innocuous or as awful as you want it to be. And so, like, one of the things was like, and the Academy Award for blank goes to blank. And it's like, Academy Award for not giving a shit about the third world goes to God. Or like they had something like the hippie naturalists have embraced the curing powers of blank. And the answer was that someone did was natural selection. And it's like, the more horrible the joke you can make, the better it is.
Okay, I get it. Like, what do you smell right now? I smell butt sex in the air.
Yeah. It's like, then there'll be you may have a card in your hand. It's like you play. It's like someone asks the question. Someone like draws a black card, and they ask the question. Everyone has to provide the cards or card or cards for their answer, and the person who asks the question judges which one they think is the best, and whoever wins gets that card, and that's your scores, how many cards you've got at the end of the game.
Yeah. Speaking of butt sex, break. Are you finished with your game?
Well, no. Actually, I wanted you guys were talking about the class system before, and this game is class based loosely a lot of the ways, but I found like the only character I'm really successful with is a healing class.
Yeah.
So I guess I
have to. It's because you're such a kind, gentle, and nurturing soul.
It can't be that. It has to be something. I don't know. So yeah, like the only time I'm ever on the top scoreboard is if I'm a sunflower or a zombie scientist.
Hmm.
Anyway, all right. That's it.
Let's go with you, Mug.
What have I been playing?
Yes,
I've been playing Undertale. I got that on the Steam sale this past week, and I actually played through it twice. I did kind of a neutral / pacifist run, and then a full pacifist run. It's like, I was playing through it, and I was like, oh, this is kind of. I mean, it's engaging. It has some really nice music, and it's like it's kind of fun. The characters are well written. They're it's charming, and it has kind of a very similar vibe to Earthbound. And I was like, then I got to the end of it, and I was like, oh, okay, now I see what all the fuss was about. And it's like, I was enjoying it before, but it's like, okay, now it's kind of gone from this is a good game to this is actually really kind of amazing. And I went, it's a short game, 5 to 6 hours to play through. And I went back and I played through it again, doing just a strict pacifist run where you don't kill anything. And it changes up the story, it changes how it all plays out. And it's like, and it hints at some other stuff. It's like, you can do what's called the genocide one, where you kill absolutely everything.
And the game becomes insanely hard.
Yeah, and and what's interesting is that a pure pacifist run is also not really easy because you never level up. It's like you stay at like 20 hit points the entire game. Why are my dogs barking?
You can buy new equipment to reduce the amount of damage done to you, though.
Yeah. But it's just a really impressive game. It's like it takes advantage of all the, it's a game that could not have been made in any other medium. It's like it makes full use of all the tropes of gaming and kind of like, kind of deconstruct some of them, skewer some of them, and makes, heavy handed use of others. But it's really well written. It's like the way that the combat works, it's, you know, it's a straight RPG, but whenever an enemy attacks, you're essentially put into you have this little heart, and it's basically like you're controlling it like a shoot 'em up, and you'll have stuff that you have to dodge, and that's how you defend yourself against attacks, and a lot of it depends on, you know, your skill at dodging these things using the, you know, shmup type controls.
That's awesome.
And it's really fun. It's like, so now it's like I've done that a few times, and now I need to try, a genocide run to see how things change. And because I know that there are boss fights that it changes the story significantly, because I know there are several boss fights that I've never seen. And stop putting shit on my list of games, dude.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I didn't play Ball Cleavage the fucking game. But the other game that I started playing, they had it on sale, so I picked up the full 3-pack thing of the Walking Dead Michonne.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, another, you know, I'm talking not Traveler's Tales, Telltale Games. This is, you know, just like the other ones, only it's 3 episodes long. I've only played the first one so far, and it's like it's pretty good. It's not, you know, outstanding. It's like, it's one thing. It's like, it looks like they kind of cut some corners. Like the lip sync is not very good, where as opposed to where it was previously. Some of the animations are really stiff. So, but I mean, that's, you know, I'm still enjoying it. I mean, I paid like $6 for it, so, you know, it's like I can't really complain.
Yeah. Anytime I pay like way less in retail for a game, I never really feel ripped off unless it's completely awful, which I usually do my research on games. Let's see. Eric, what have you been playing, man? I'm sorry. A mug, are you done? I'm sorry, I didn't.
Yeah, that's okay. It for me.
Play
Earthbound. It's not Earthbound. Play Undertale. It's really, really good.
Play Earthbound 2. But also right, play Undertale. I've been playing, over the weekend, I played Higurashi Chapter 3, Tatari Hiroshi, and I finished that, and I just need to write the review and have it up, so I'll do that this weekend. I got plenty of time. 3 days. And I also played and beat Zero Escape, Zero Time Dilemma for the PC. And
is that the new one?
Yeah, that's the new one. I don't recommend playing it first. I mean, it's set up in a way that you could play it without playing the others, but you'll definitely get a lot more out of the story if you played at least Zero Escape versus Last Reward.
Mm.
But you should just start with 999 and go from there. But I also played a little bit of Karakara, which we talked about last week. And over at work during break, since I finished Seventh Dragon, Seventh Dragon 3 Code VFD, I went back to Langrisser Reincarnation Tensei, which doesn't need to be there because that's what incarnation is in English.
Yeah,
or Tensei is in English. It's incarnation.
Reincarnation.
Yeah, reincarnation specifically. And
so the game is called Reincarnation. Reincarnation.
I definitely did not play a game called Fart. What did I eat today?
Oh man, I love it. Was that good, Eric?
No.
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 It sounds awesome. I play that game.
I think what's happening here is Frank is just trying to push the games he played onto us.
No.
So that he doesn't lose face.
I absolutely am not. Frank,
you totally played Out of the Chute SingStar.
Out of the Chute SingStar.
Yeah. Methinks thou doth protest too much, sir.
I played MPQ, obviously. I told you guys about that. That's pretty much a staple every day. And I bought a bunch of new songs on SingStar. I swear, SingStar has taken more money out of my wallet over the years than any other game, period.
See, like, it really is.
And all to no use, and all to no good end, to no useful end, because it's Frank, and I can only imagine how horrible his singing
Frank's
is.
Frank's a filthy casual.
Well, you don't have to imagine. I actually don't sing at all. Like, Whippix will sing, my kids will sing. My My duties include picking the songs for people to sing. That's the extent of my
should just call Frank Dirty Frank from now on because he's a filthy casual.
What? Fuck off, Eric. I'm told you the reason why, man. I'm like, I'll dabble with the little Final Fantasy IV and Dragon Quest VIII and shit.
Well, now stop and again. Complaining about not having a PS4 and start saving for it.
That's easy.
All he plays is mainstream RPGs.
Yeah. That's easy for you to say, Eric. Like, I'll talk about why now I can't get a PS4 in my Stinkos. But
so let's move on then.
Let's move on. Stinkos. Speaking of Stinkos, a big ass tree limb fell off of my tree today, which is. I'm very, very happy that nobody next door got hit by it. Like, it fell right on their walkway. So I can only imagine if somebody was walking how injured that person would have been. So this tree's on its
how lawsuit worthy they would have been.
Oh my god, dude. It would have been awful. I'm seriously gonna have to take this tree down, and that's gonna run probably about $500-$600. So you're talking about saving, Eric? What's saving, dude? Like, I have to save for shit.
Hey, Frank, I have to object to one thing. You said your tree. It's not your tree. You can own the earth, and still, all you'll own is earth until you can paint with all the colors of the wind.
What?
I have
you
no idea.
Evil
what
son of
said.
A bitch.
Yes, it is my tree, son of a bitch. I didn't plant it, but by virtue of the fact that I bought the house and the property that goes with it, it's my tree. God damn it. But yeah, that would have been disastrous. But so now I have to save up the money for that. And that's going to prevent me from getting a PS4 probably for the rest of this year. I planned on getting one September-ish. September, October, November, but now that plans out the fucking window. Every time
we need a GoFundMe for Frank.
Yeah, GoFundMe. On my GoFundMe page, people would be like, "Go fuck yourself." All right, let's move on to Mug, your Stinko of the week.
Oh, I've had several run in for some reason this week. I've had several run-ins with like. Crazy anti-science types, like a couple of anti-vaxxers and a couple of anti-GMO nutters, and it's just they drive me up the fucking wall because they don't want to, they're not interested in, in actually learning anything. They're not interested in, hearing where the evidence points. They're so fucking fixated on what they, know in their hearts to be true that they can't imagine that they could ever possibly be wrong.
I know the letters, but what's GMO stand for?
Genetically modified organism.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, people are like, oh no, that's like basically like it's the we must buy or like this fixation on there. We must do organic, and I'm like,
yeah,
organic doesn't fucking mean anything. No. Actually, the only thing it does mean is that you're more likely to have a foodborne pathogen in your food.
That and also it takes up
like a certain Mexican grill restaurant.
Yeah. Oh, Chipotle, wasn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
You forgot the most important part. You also pay more for your food.
Yes, and not
yeah.
no.
It's like it's a markup of like of 2 to 3, or actually 2 to 4 times as much money.
Yeah.
For exactly the same thing, only for no actual benefit.
Only greater risk of it getting sick.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't taste any better. It's not bigger, sweeter, juicier, or anything like that. It's just a marketing buzzword.
Yeah.
And all the fear-mongering shit that goes with it, it drives me
up. I saw organic pillows, and I rolled my eyes at that.
Actually, organic.
Oh, but it's organic cotton, Eric.
Yeah.
Don't you know how important that is?
Because, I'm pretty sure cotton's already organic, so whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like it's a carbon-based, it's a life form. It's carbon-based. So, yes, it's organic. But it's like, it's organic cotton. Because you eat your bed clothing apparently.
I had a $1 billion idea, guys. Why don't we sell, and we can bottle it, and we'll put it on the shelves. We'll put it in cans, like easy open the cans, like beer or something like that, or pop. But we can sell organic air.
Yeah, I like that idea.
People buy anything.
They already sell organic salt.
Yeah. You know, the problem
with it's not an it's like no organic, no non-GMO salt. There's no DNA in salt.
Right.
No, even better, Brake, we could call it homeopathic organic
air. Oh my god, you're right.
You know,
genius.
Yes. You know what the worst thing about organic foods is they use way more land than GMOs do. Like the amount of land for organics that you have to get the same yield is crazy. It's not.
Not to mention all fossil fuels used to burn.
Yeah,
to do the mowing and stuff.
It's not sustainable at all. Like this, it's just a fad. I'm thoroughly convinced that organic foods are just a fad.
Well, ethanol is probably used in most tractors, isn't it? Not ethanol.
Yeah, I'm not.
Well, that's one thing that gets me about it. Organic farming doesn't use pesticides. Yes, it fucking does. Mm-hmm. It actually uses different pesticides, but it tends to use a lot more of them because the crops have no resistance to the pesticides, so they have to use more of it.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll
use
shit like
your fucked up food.
By the way,
they'll use shit like boric acid or parasitic acid. It's like, this shit's not good to have on your food.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, like shit, like, you know, going on about Roundup. No, glyphosate. It's like, it's only the safest pesticide, or rather the safest herbicide ever created.
Yeah. By the way, I forgot to mention Slagar's in chat. Welcome back to chat, Slagar. He says he's already think he's seen homeopathic organic air. So somebody's already beat us to the punch.
Damn, we're going to have to call it something else instead. Organic.
How about we call it natural air and just natural market air. It that way? Like, get a really cool, logo.
It's like
the
generic off brand. We could still make millions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Necessarily be billionaires.
No, he actually put up a link. He actually put up a link to bottled air, China.
Yep. There it is.
Goddamn Chinese.
I tell
you. Everything.
Yeah.
It's like if it can be sold, if it can be like, you know, prepared and, you know, packaged and sold, the Chinese have probably taken it already.
Well, the thing is, though, their actual environment's pretty bad. So that's
I mean, it's like there's actually, I went to the link and it's like there's a picture. Here's a picture of like Tokyo or not Tokyo, Beijing, and it's just like, wow, you actually can't see the horizon because of all the smog.
Yeah. By the way, I think it's Okinawa wants to ban Americans from being there, period. Like, which is weird. Like, I understand why, but holy shit.
What happened with the rape and the Navy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They don't want us there, but it's kind
of... Why would you want to go to Okinawa? It's like country anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd like to see it.
There have been numerous rape cases against Navy, like Navy men raping Japanese women.
Yeah, no.
In Okinawa specifically, so it makes total sense them not wanting us there.
Does make sense. All right, Stinko.
You know, one bad apple, but this has been multiple bad apples, but you know, still.
Breakman.
I think it's
xenophobia. Like, it's taking it to the extreme, but at the same time, like, a lot. I think these guys have gotten off of the crimes at the same time, so like I can understand like why they'd be really mad.
Leave it up to the military to not take care of their sexual repression problem.
Right.
All right, Breakman, you're up.
All right, I have two stinkos. One goes to excuse me. I had to belch.
There you go.
And muted. I hope nobody heard it. Anyway, one goes to the terrible tragedy that's befallen West Virginia, and news media seems to completely ignore for the most part. Like, there's bad flooding that happened in West Virginia, and a lot of people were killed.
Yeah, that was like last...
I unfortunately didn't write the numbers down before, but you know what I mean.
It's West Virginia.
No.
To be fair, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are way more important.
Yeah. No, this is definitely a huge issue. So. I saw the devastation. Last I heard, there was 24 people that got killed. 22 or 24.
That's too many dead. The devastation, really, like you said, that's what's horrible. Yeah. Have you seen any images of it? It's like, you know, it harkens back to like Katrina and such.
Yeah, it was really bad. Yeah. I honestly, all joking aside, I do feel really bad for the people of West Virginia. I mean, I think on this show, I've given West Virginia a hard time for having a bunch of hillbillies and, you know, shit like that. But that type of stuff is not cool whatsoever. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully those people can get back on their feet. What else, Breakman?
Yeah. Oh, actually, speaking of the flooding and stuff, did you guys hear about the thing with the jet streams merging, like crossing the equator and merging, which is. Yeah, and it's like, and that's apt to cause all kinds of problems. I mean, that's like crossing the streams. Yeah, it's like we're basically past the point of no return. We won't be able to contain, you know, global warming to under. It's like we were hoping to get it below, you know, keep it below 1 degree Celsius increase globally. It's like now we're not going to be able to do, even if we stopped all, you know, basically carbon emissions and everything immediately. We still wouldn't be able to keep it below 1.5, and it looks like we're going to go over, you know, 2.0 degrees Celsius. And it's like we're going to see like the sea levels rising several meters very rapidly. Well, not like super rapidly, but in the next 20 years, you know, you're likely to see most of the coastal cities in the world flooded out.
Yep, absolutely. There is a country that's almost submerged now, and they were talking about New York being very close to be in that.
Yeah, way. I mean, once the sea level rises, it's like half of Florida is going to go.
Yeah,
like pretty much the entire penis of Florida is going to disappear.
Yeah,
And like California, Manhattan Island is fucked.
Yeah,
and like all of Louisiana and Mississippi are going to go.
Yeah,
I'm never gonna look at Florida the same.
Yeah, I know. The penis of Florida.
Like I forget where it is. I saw a video. It's basically like a simulation. It's like if all of the ice melts, you know, here's what the sea levels will look like. And it's like, you know, Florida is just gone. There's like that, you know, that handle part of Florida is basically going to be all that's left in a few islands.
Yeah.
The saggy penis is going away.
Somebody dares tell me that there isn't a problem with people keep having more people, then I have to fucking punch you in the face.
Yeah, I mean, what's the solution to that? I mean,
there's an overpopulation problem. We have too many people on this planet.
Yeah, well, that's.
I don't want to contribute to that, which is why I'm seriously considering getting my penis nipped, so I don't have to. Ever
That's how you said it. Like I'm considering getting my nipples pierced.
Just basically what I never want to hear.
I'm like, I don't think that will help. I mean, if that's a thing, okay, but I don't think that's going to really cause a difference.
I never want to hear the phrase "penis nip" on this channel again. That's an awful way of looking at a vasectomy, Eric. That's crazy, man. My penis
It has nothing to do with the penis, for one thing.
Yeah, exactly.
My penis, I know. It has more to do with people not being able to control their sex drives.
That's true.
No, I meant it's your testicles.
Right.
And not using rubbers. I mean,
am I right, Maria?
Moria's like, I'm not even.
He's like, I fucking hate you, asshole.
I was distracted, so I didn't hear any of that, and I'm probably glad.
Yeah, you, dude, exactly.
Yeah, it was a painful subject to probably bring up in front of you.
All right, Breakman.
Breakman,
you had another. Oh, yeah.
My other stinko goes to. I had the first of. Two dentist appointments because this year, for the first time in a very long time, I had a cavity.
Oof.
But not one cavity, five.
Oh, shit.
I've never had that many cavities in my fucking life.
You better brush your teeth, man. What's up?
That's
with that?
The thing is, like, I think I take better care of my teeth now than I've ever done before.
Yeah. Well, all of it's catching up now, man.
That's what they say. It's like apparently from your youth, like eating a lot of candy and stuff back then, like no matter what you do, it's going to catch up to you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Halloween, Christmas, and Easter, and all those other delicious holidays.
Really
So, yeah. So that's the first one, and it's been a week, and my gums still hurt in certain spots. Like I floss, and it's like, ow. Ow.
And I'm right there with you. I actually have a wisdom tooth that has a massive chunk out of it that I can't do anything about.
Ouch. I had those pulled a long time ago.
Yeah.
I had to get those gone. That sucked too, because like the doctor gave me like some Novocaine that they didn't do it right or something. When I came out of it, I was throwing up really bad.
Oh God!
Actually, that's not an uncommon reaction to any form of anesthesia.
Really?
Yeah.
They should give you some Zofran, because it's like that's specifically to it's an antiemetic to keep you from throwing up.
Yeah.
Oh God, I was throwing up, and there was a lot of blood. Obviously, that I was throwing up. Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah, that's awful, anyway, man.
That was a long time ago, but now it's like, oh my God, to numb your mouth, like they have to like pierce the inside of your mouth and shit. And it's so fucking painful.
Mm,
oh crazy. God, I hate.
I mean, generally speaking, I mean, once they get the first, once they get the first prick in your mouth, it shouldn't hurt anymore.
yeah, let's. You've definitely had the first prick in your mouth, Mug. So how'd that go?
Okay, I've already said I'm not straight.
I understand.
So this is not like
that's funny as fuck,
scandalous.
Man.
Yeah, you should start making straight jokes about Mug.
That's funny as fuck.
Like you breeder, or I can't really
prick in your mouth.
Like, actually, I'm not, because I've had a vasectomy and I don't have kids of my own.
All right, let's move on.
Me either, good man.
Eric, you have a stinko, or do you?
That I know of. If there are any.
No, it's another update to the shooter, shooter.
What's the update, man?
The update is that it says here, this is from the Los Angeles Times, is the FBI investigators say that they have found no evidence that an Orlando gay shooter had gay lovers. It says, since the shooting at an Orlando nightclub.
Okay, what? I'm sorry. That was a fucking ad. One of those. Yeah.
Yeah, I just heard it. Last said that it left 49 people dead. Reports of nerds that gunman Omar Mateen frequently at a gay club used gay dating apps and had gay lovers. But the FBI has found no evidence so far to support claims by those who say Mateen had gay lovers or communicated on gay dating apps. Mateen 9 told police investigators that he had carried out the shooting that began at 2 a.m. and June 12th and ended after a 3-hour standoff when he was killed by police. I think they're talking about the other Mateen that's still alive.
From what I've seen, that whole thing with Omar Mateen is like the narrative that he was gay has been largely fabricated.
Mm-hmm. So
even that guy that got on, what was it, CNN and said that he was his lover and all that, that was bullshit.
Look what happens when somebody dies. For instance, when Prince died, how many people came out of the woodwork saying they were Prince's
son? So that's my errata from last week.
Yeah.
And speaking of errata, once you're done, I have something I'd like to say. It's about something I mentioned this week.
About it last week, because I do know that there are people out there that have done those things because of their conflict with gay issues.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's the only way. I mean,
there's so many people that make things up just to get attention. It's a horrible thing that happens in this country.
So yeah, my stinker would be the fucker that talked about being a gay lover.
Yeah,
yeah.
What were you gonna say, Monk?
But no, the thing I mentioned before about the jet streams and everything, like one of the pages, like that's this, skeptical science is sharing this thing. Two bloggers have made a stunning claim that has spread like wildfire on the internet. They say the Northern Hemisphere jet stream, the high altitude river of winds that separates cold air from warm air, has done something new and outrageous. They say it has crossed the equator, joining the jet stream in the Southern Hemisphere. One said that this signifies the jet stream is wrecked. The other, it means we have a global climate emergency. But these shrill claims have no validity. Airflow between the hemispheres occurs routinely. The claims are unsupported and unscientific, and they demonstrate the danger of wild assertions made by non-experts reaching and misleading the masses. The two bloggers who have perpetuated this misinformation are Robert Scribler, who described himself as a progressive novelist, nonfiction writer, and emerging threats expert, and Paul Beckwith, who is working on a PhD with a focus on abrupt climate system change at the University of Ottawa. Scribler says the cross-equator flow is a manifestation of man-made global warming, supported by the hypothesis that disproportionate heating of the Arctic is destabilizing the jet stream. The hemispherical jet streams have moved out of the middle latitudes more and more, he writes. More and more it has invaded regions within the polar zone and within the tropics. Now it appears that the old dividing lines are so weak that flows of upper-level air between hemispheres can be exchanged. He concludes that this violation of dividing lines is a kind of weather weirding that we are not at all really prepared to deal with. I reached out to, and this is the author of this article. I reached out to several atmospheric scientists who have graduate degrees and are trusted sources in the profession for their reaction to these claims. Without exception, they said airflow between the hemispheres is not at all uncommon. This is total nonsense, said Cliff Mass, a professor of meteorology at the University of Washington. Flow often crosses the equator. Mass added that the cross-equator flow identified by Scribble and Beckwith is not between mid-latitude jet streams, yeah, as claimed. The analysis is making mistakes that that even one of my junior undergrads would not make.
This is funny.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's fairly lengthy.
This is saying that they're bullshit. And basically what they're claiming, they're doing a sensationalist thing to make a name for themselves.
It's alarmist stuff. And it's like, it's like, I was wrong. I shouldn't, it's like, I'm happy to admit it because apparently that's not the case. So cool.
Well, that's good. That's actually good news. So all right. Let's move on.
When it comes to like how bad the environment is, a lot of people, there have been a lot of conclusions people have been jumping to lately. I don't think we can rule anything out at this point.
No. Well, I will say that, the ice caps are melting. I mean, this is not in dispute, and what sea levels are going to rise. I mean, you are going to see coastal cities flood, but it's a matter of the duration. We still are dealing with, it's not like an immediate crisis like was previously described, but it's still it's still not a small problem.
Yeah,
and it is going to affect everybody.
Global warming is definitely real, regardless of what political candidates tell you. It is very, very real.
I know. One day, New Yorkers are going to be moving inward. They're going to be coming to Ohio and stuff.
Yeah, they're going to have
scary thought.
An interesting one. One day, Wall Street is going, Wall Street and Times Square are going to be underwater.
Yep.
And it's and how are people going to react to that? That's going to actually, that kind of thing is going to
forget about Britain leaving the EU. We're going to be losing landmass.
Yeah. Well, not just that, but you think about it. Most of the economy, in terms of how the economy is run, is centered in Manhattan.
Yeah, but I'm sure they'll move Wall Street to.
Yeah, but it'll be interesting to see what happens because you're going to have you're going to have refugees.
Southeast.
I could just see the memes now. Wall Street underwater and the meme. Do you believe in global warming now?
I hope by then we've evolved past memes.
Stock market flood.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to our sweetos. Let's start with Moria.
Moria. Sorry, I missed that.
Maybe we could do Escape from New York 2.
Yeah. Moria. They already did Escape from New York 2. Escape from L.A. Something.
Yeah, but this time we'll be in New York again.
Yeah.
All right, Moria. Where Kurt Russell swears he did that whole basketball scene without any special effects.
Yeah, bullshit.
Yeah.
All right, so sweetos.
Yes.
Okay. There were the Supreme Court did some good things this week, several good things actually.
Yeah, for once.
They struck down those unconstitutional laws in Texas, that would have severely limited, the availability of safe abortions in the state, which is awesome. They also said that, in Minnesota, whoever Kim Davis was or is, you can't use your religious, that you can't claim a religious exemption to get out of doing your job. So you can't, say it's against my religion to give a marriage license to a gay couple, or and by extension to provide contraception to someone if I'm a Catholic or whatever.
Right. And that's definitely a good thing. No question.
Yes. These are awesome things. Cause I'm sorry, when it comes to that, it's if you're, you were hired to do this job, and if you're not willing to do that job, you need to get the fuck out.
That's like working at my job and saying, I don't want to sell pot to people because it's my moral belief. It's my religious belief that pot.
Well, if you actually believe that, though, you wouldn't be working there, right?
No, but see, that's the point. That's what Mug is trying to say. If that's the way you feel, don't work there.
It's like people wanting their cake and eat too. I want money, but I don't want to do the thing that gives me the money.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you're hired to, you're not hired to make moral pronouncements on people. You're hired there to deal with paperwork, in terms of the county clerk or whatever it is that Kim Davis is. If someone comes in for a marriage license, you provide them the forms and you give them the marriage license. And, you know, that's what you do. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I'm a notary public. It doesn't matter to me what the documents are. My job is there's a notary block that's like, I witness someone signing it. And then I put the date and time. This says I witnessed this happen. Here's my signature and I stamp it. It doesn't matter to me what it is. I have no stake in anything that the actual content of the documents. All, you know, my job is specifically to say that, yes, I witnessed it, and here's the certification that says that, you know, that I'm attesting to that.
Yeah, my wife's also a notary, so that's that's funny you say. That's a great analogy, Mug, for sure. What else, Mug?
And I went to the MST3K reunion that was on Tuesday, I think, and that was a lot of fun. It was out in Minnesota, I think it is, where the show originally started. But they got the guys, you know, like the Rift Tracks guys, which was like Mike Nelson and Bill something, I can't remember his name, and Bill Corbett and Kevin Murphy. There we go, who do the Rift Tracks stuff now. But they also got back together. It's like, I don't know if you guys know that, like, remember, like, they got a Kickstarter going and they succeeded to get a new season of Mystery Science Theater 3000 going.
That's good.
With Jonah Ray is going to be the new test subject, and Joel Hodgson and stuff. He's involved. You know, he's not going to be in it, but what's his name? Patton Oswalt. He's going to be the son of TV's Frank.
Oh shit! That's cool.
Yeah, and so they'll have some, you know, people coming in. They'll still be Frank, you know. There'll still be Tom Servo and Crow, and the voices have changed. Like, the entire cast of that show changed a few times over the course of its run for 10 seasons. So it's like, okay, we do this, but they actually had Jonah Ray with them. So like the way that they did it, they did a bunch of shorts. They didn't do a single movie, but they had one short where they did. Mike, Kevin, and Bill, and then they had one where they brought in Mary Jo Peel, who played Dr. Forrester's mother, and Bridget Nelson, Bridget Jones Nelson, who was one of the writers and Mike's wife, and those two did this thing, they riffed on this thing that one of those like social engineering things. Basically, it was all about like. It was a word to the wives was what it was. Basically how women can manipulate their men into getting them a nice house with a nice kitchen. It's essentially what it was. And they played on that, and they had, the Frank Conniff and Trace Belew, who played TV's Frank and Dr. Forrester. They came out and did one, and they had another one with the Rift Tracks guys. And then they had, and that they had Joel Hodgson, who was the creator of the series, and he played Joel in the first few seasons, and he came out and did a riff with Jonah Ray, who's the new guy, and kind of gave everyone a taste of like, okay, here's what he's going to be like. And it's like he flubbed a couple, he tripped up a couple times, and Joel was there to kind of take him through it, and it's like, and I get that, it's he's riffing live on stage next to his heroes.
Right.
So there's going to be some nerves at play there.
Yeah, right.
But it was, and they had a lot of, it was like a lot of fun. And then they closed out with, they did another one where everybody was riffing together. And so it's like, it was just a really good time. It was about, 2 hours and two, 2 hours, 20 minutes. And it was really enjoyable. It was nice to see all these people back together again for the first time in like 15 or 20 years.
Have you guys ever tried to rip track on your own? It's actually really difficult. Like, it's not.
Well, I mean, it's not easy. The thing is, it's not something they do in real time. It's like everything's scripted and they have time cues.
Right.
And it's something where, I'll watch stuff and sometimes I'll come up with jokes on the fly and just stuff that comes to mind. But it's the kind of thing where you really need people to bounce ideas off of to see that it's like, okay, well, I think that's funny. That doesn't necessarily mean anyone else is.
Right.
And, that's why it works, because they found a formula that really works. I had a lot of fun with that, and it was worth the money.
That's cool, man.
And they'll be putting the whole thing up on like streaming and have a DVD and stuff of it out. So if you're into that, Rift Tracks and MST3K, it's worth checking out.
Sweet. All right, break your sweet-o.
A happy 4th of July. My favorite holiday is Monday.
Oh my god. Blow shit.
I hate Mondays.
I know it's on a Monday, but it's you know, the holidays where you blow shit up, and everybody.
It's also a holiday where I don't have to work. Woo!
I know everybody tells you don't get drunk and light off fireworks, but what's the fun in that? I'm here to tell you to get drunk as fuck and light off shit, but don't be stupid about it.
Oh my god, I'd rather just go to the.
I think it's a little late for that one.
Yeah, I'd rather just go down to the park and see.
A lot of the home accidents happen because people are. They're either impatient or they make their own fucking fireworks. Like they'll take fireworks that are already made, which are designed within the law, which limits the a power of the fireworks. Like you can't get the kind of fireworks that you see at fireworks shows. They don't sell those legally, like commercially.
Yeah. Right. You know what's funny?
So you can't get those kind of fireworks powerful. So a lot of people do stupid things like. They'll open up a bunch of M80s and they'll combine them together into the one big firework. And those are the kind of morons that get drunk and blow their hands off.
What's the goofiest trick you ever did with fireworks, Brick?
You should see some of the videos we've probably posted. My brother especially, he likes to dance with like fountains.
Oh Jesus! Like the no, that's not a good idea at all.
Like the shooting fountains, like he'll kind of dance with them on camera, and there's some pretty funny fucking videos of it. When you see,
I remember though, one thing that we did one time. We had we bought a bunch of bottle rockets, that just go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But what we did, and we got this one of those 5 gallon paint buckets, and we filled it full of water. And so we took like one of those long pair of like barbecue tongs, and we would light them upside down so that they would shoot into the water and then explode in the tank or in the bucket. So it's basically it's like this, and so you would see the water just kind of jump a little bit. It's like, oh, okay, this is fun. So we did this for like I think we got through about 12 of them before all the shock waves and everything from the explosions. Split open the side of the bucket and just all the water. Just went,
that's funny, man.
It's nice.
We used to do that at the lake too. We would like angle them. We would sit the bottle rockets in the sand at about a 15 degree angle, so they would go. It's like so there wasn't enough lift, and they would just go, and then go straight in. Like they basically could have a tiny bit of lift, and then they go into the water about 5 feet off the shore, and then you just watch the little flash underneath. It's like, God, we are killing. It's like looking back on that. It's like we are horrible. We are killing fish this way.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny, Breakman.
I remember all the fire, like back when I was a kid, they used to have a lot of like a bunch of the, they still do have them, but like the vehicle shaped ones. But you could get so many different like aquatic fireworks, like battleships, destroyers, and shit like that.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, looking back on that, like, probably not the best idea, but, yeah, that was awesome.
You know what's funny? Like, Independence Day is probably my least favorite holiday. I can't stand it. I like watching...
That movie was awful, too.
It was all right.
I liked the first one. Yeah, it was cheesy good. Like, the second one, as I predicted, is a huge flop, and... I'm hoping...
I saw the trailers for it, I'm just like, this movie looks like absolutely no fun.
Yeah.
Like why this is one of these movies, like why did they make this?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, Roland Emmerich does not make good movies.
No.
Did you hear like his what he was saying like the week before? Like he's like, I've already got a few sequels already lined up. I got them written and ready to go.
Yeah, great.
Sure you do.
Great. Yeah, it's funny. Like I like to watch the major fireworks if somebody else is doing them, but man, I had a scare one year. We were living in a house. And I lit off one of those bottle rockets, and it went sideways right into somebody's Cadillac. I was like, oh, fuck, that's it for me. No more. No mas. But,
yeah. Oh, man. I was watching somebody shoot him off one time, and he was shooting off the mortar type thing, which is it's a cone, and you put the firework in it, and it launches into the sky to give you kind of a firework. Is to kind of look like the commercial-grade fireworks, just not as powerful. But as he's doing that, it fell – and shot right into a road as a car was going by.
Yeah.
Those people just kept on driving, but I can't imagine that was like not a frightful moment for them.
You guys got to check this out. I'll put it in chat so the chatters can check it out. But look up Roman Candle Fetch. There's this dog that grabs his Roman candle.
Oh, Jesus, no.
Oh,
I think I've seen that where he just...
He
grabs the thing and he just starts running it back. Yep. But the thing is, fireballs are shooting out the side of it, so everyone's freaking the fuck out.
Yeah, it's awesome. The dog
it wasn't
is like,
something they intended to do. It's just the dog is like, oh, you threw this.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I put the link in chat if you guys get a chance to check it out. If you're listening on the archives, just look up Roman Candle Fetch or Dog...
I would like Roman to say candle. That, like, I go to a certain place called, and I went to a few places this year, but I go to a certain place mainly called Phantom Fireworks?
Yeah.
And they have this firework called the Brouhaha, which basically looks like a big beer mug. It's one of the best fireworks I've ever seen. I highly recommend it if you haven't seen it.
I'm going to have to check that out on YouTube. I don't mind.
It's called the Brouhaha, and it lasts like at least 5 minutes, I think.
Wow. That's good. All right.
Hang on. There was this thing. I don't know if you guys heard about this. It was a couple of years ago, but I saw this thing about it where a comedian Dara O'Brien was talking about it, where they had this like a small town where they had they have this annual fireworks display that they do, but what happened was like it's a small town, like a few thousand people, so that everyone gets together to come watch this every year for their celebration, and it's in Ireland. It may have been like Cork or something like that, but like what happened was someone messed up and all the fireworks went off at once. So what was supposed to be like 30 minutes of fireworks went off in about 78 seconds. And there's footage of it online, and I can't remember what it's called, but
that
it's like
give you PTSD if you weren't expecting it.
Yeah, and it's just like Dara O'Brien described it. It is fucking epic. And it's just like, wow, that's fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
and once it was done, it was like, so 30 seconds of silence, and someone comes out and says, you can all go home now.
Seriously, though, with all these traditional fireworks displays, have they ever considered that people might be triggered by those?
Oh, like one of the things that when I was saying, like, people impatience.
Yes, it's
like,
an actual thing. I'm not making shit Oben. Up. I'm not being social justice warrior-y or not. It's like
Oben. It's spelled OBAN. Just look up. I just looked. It's like fireworks go off at once, but it's like this. Yeah, Oben community fireworks fiasco. And it's like it's even less time than I thought. I think the entire thing is 51 seconds.
I'm looking at that brouhaha. I put it in chat, I'm showing it on the live stream. That thing looks awesome, man. It's like a fountain, but it lasts like 2 minutes and 32 seconds, it looks like. That's
it's
really
a pretty
cool.
It's a long thing. It seems really long. It's really loud, too.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's a lot of fun.
I don't care for fireworks because they are loud.
I like them, but I like to watch them. I don't like to do them anymore. Like I said, I had that incident that, I just didn't. It just scared the shit out of me and my family, and I'm like, it's just not worth it for me. Plus, fireworks are absolutely illegal in the Denver metro area. So
yeah, they're illegal here, but that's the thing is, so many people shoot off fireworks on the 4th of July. The police will not arrest anybody on the 4th.
Yeah, it's the same thing here.
Unless you were doing something dangerous.
Yeah, it's the same thing here. But they will give you a ticket if they see you. But
if you're doing something dangerous here, they just drive on by here. They don't care.
That's weird.
As long as you're not fucking shit up, they don't fucking care.
Yeah, that's really weird. But all right, that's gonna do it.
But then again, I've told you many times. I think we might have one of the best police forces in the country.
You have said
in this city. Once you get outside of this city, the cops like suddenly turn into dicks.
You have said that quite a few times, which is cool. Although, which is weird because there's a lot of weird shit that happens in Ohio
but not necessarily all in this city.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's mostly like Cleveland and, places like that.
It's usually a lot of times it's really in the small towns in Ohio. All right, there are a lot of. There's a lot of farm country in Ohio.
Yeah, I haven't. I don't see anything for a Sweeto for you, Eric. So I'm assuming you do not have one today.
No.
All right.
When I was saying being impatient with fireworks, my safety tip: if you light a firework, and you know you back away and go to let it, you know, launch, and it doesn't light up.
Don't go back
to that firework. Stay the fuck away from that firework for at least like 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because that might – there might be something wrong with the wick or something, and it might light up at any point.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Or smash it, I guess, with your foot.
Yeah.
Or
whatever. I see people do shit like that. Basically look down the barrel of it. Yeah. And like, that's like looking down the barrel of a gun that's misfired.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Like, you don't do that.
People are stupid. Yeah. Those are the people that, like I said, usually those people are drunk and stupid, but like I've been so fucking drunk on the 4th of July and lighting fireworks off because I don't do stupid stuff.
What's
by
like what happened to that guy who played Gaston at Disney World? Remember that? They put a firework on his head and he was drunk and he put a firework on his head and it went off and it like did something like the flames or something went down into his brain, killed him immediately.
Yeah.
Why would you put a firework on your head? Why are people stupid?
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, that's the thing. He was drunk, and it was like that, you know, thing. A lot of stupid shit sounds like a good idea when you're drunk.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like, yeah. And I mean, like, this was, I don't know if you guys have seen the videos of him. It's like, you know, he, as Gaston, you know, at Disney World, and he's just like, he really got into the character, was really likable, just had a lot of fun with it. And there's all kinds of videos of people just, you know, and he's all, you know, he's like, he wasn't really like this really big dude. He had like a muscle suit on. But it's like, you know, check out the muscles and everything. And so he's playing up the character of Gaston from Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah,
but, you know, being, you know, amiable about it. And it's just like, apparently just like a really nice guy who's just like, he got drunk, he did something stupid, and it killed him. It's like, God, that sucks.
Yeah. Unfortunately, like, right. that happens all the time. You don't need fireworks to get drunk and do something stupid and be dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's – it's about time for – oh, shit. Come on, fucking thing.
It's about time for Grindr Dance Party.
Yeah, right. It is definitely not time for that.
That means a harmonica, doesn't it?
No, God damn it. Breakman exiled. Son of a bitch.
I was going to say, it's a good thing you said that, because I'd actually completely forgotten about it.
God damn it. Fucking Breakman. You know what? I'm not going to hang up on you, Mug, but God damn it, Breakman.
How about some harmonica dubstep?
No! God. Oh, my God. This is... This is definitely the worst show I've ever been on, man. This is awful, man. It's fucking awful. All right, we need to do the plugs and get the fuck out of here. Breakman, do the honors. What are your plugs this week,
man? At @break_man and at @RPGrinders. And happy 4th of July, everyone. And if you're outside of America, you probably don't have as many laws against fireworks as we do, so blow stuff up, have fun.
Yeah, England can do that now. They almost have the same Independence Day as us, I guess, with that Brexit shit. But I'm joking.
Brexit's going to be the 4th of July for Britain.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
We fucked up when we signed this.
Yeah. Mug, your plugs, please.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. It's @MoriaMug. It's MoriaMug. And you can also check out my new band. It's called Harmstep.
Oh, God.
There is one news article we didn't actually mention.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. I swear to God, man.
It's the one about Adventure of Mana, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's on Vita now.
Yeah, because they
bought the –
yes, because it's like $15. It's a remake of the original what was it? Not Saga, the original Mana game, because it's brought over here as Final Fantasy Adventure.
Mug, you know what your harmonica would be good for is to put it on top of one of those fucking brouhahas. That's what your harmonica's good
for. What the hell is a brouhaha?
Look it up on YouTube. Brouhaha.
You know the fountain, right? It this one's shaped like a beer mug and it lasts a pretty long time. It's loud and it's colorful.
It's like, I know what a brouhaha and like it doesn't have anything to do with fireworks.
Yes, it does. All right. Well,
that may be something they appropriated, but the original word just means like a big to-do. It's like kerfuffle.
Yeah.
I know. Like, this is just a name. This is the name of the firework. The brand is called Phantom Fireworks. Yeah. They own the website fireworks.com.
Yeah. All right.
I'm sure a lot of other websites hate them very much.
All right. Anything else, Mug?
No, that was it for me.
All right, Eric, your plugs.
you can find my reviews on sites like Boston Bastard Brigade, Total EGN, Game Tactics, and VogNetwork.com and Humble HonestGamers.com. And I have a YouTube channel, Funny T Man, and you can find me on Twitter at EricRPG.
All right, you can find me on Twitter at Frank Branches. Break already mentioned at RP Grinders. Send us some shit. We're coming up on episode 400, which, in all honesty, for a weekly podcast show, I don't think there are very very many that have hit 400. So,
introduced Yusuf Maraca so readily.
And so with so much joy.
Yeah, and so much desperation and angst and
That's on you, dude. I'm having fun.
Oh my god! Even in my goddamn plugs, you have to get the harmonica in there. Jesus Christ, man!
He thought you were plugging the harmonica. I thought you were plugging.
Oh, that reminds me.
That was
your mug plugs his harmonica up his ass.
It was like that. It was described as that glorious moment when the when the vacuum cleaner catches a harmonica.
Oh god!
And so it's just like does all of the notes on the thing is like.
Jesus Christ!
It was wonderful.
It was not wonderful, and that thing should be sucked up by your vacuum, you son of a bitch. All right, let's see what else. Stay safe this weekend. It's 4th of July weekend here in the United States. Don't blow your head off or your hand or any fucking stupid thing like that.
Yeah, I have
anything really important like your pee-pee.
Go ahead, Eric.
Pacific Rim 2, 2008.
Yeah, 2008. Yeah, it's retro. All right, go
it's
see
the ultimate prequel.
Yeah, there's a movie called Howl out there. You guys should check that movie out. We're gonna do a review for Werewithal, so check out Werewithal. Next episode's gonna include a review of the movie Howl, which is actually
Netflix.
But it's worth renting or buying. Definitely, go check it out.
Reviews, and now we don't need to read the review.
Yeah,
or listen.
Yeah,
we've already got to go rent it or buy it.
Definitely go check out that.
You don't need to listen to Werewithal now.
Yeah,
solved it.
Listen to Werewithal, and that's about it. Stay safe this weekend, everybody. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we are out. Later, guys.